Greet each of you in Jesus' name this morning. Glad for all of you that are here. It's good to have some visitors here this morning because it'd be pretty empty if y'all weren't here. So welcome. Hope y'all can worship with us. And welcome to y'all home folks as well. Blessing to have everybody here. Want to wish and ask God's presence and His blessing on us here this morning, and we could be encouraged and challenged. You know, it's been a different week for some of us than what we thought it would be a week ago, Sunday. We didn't know all the things that God had in store for us this last week, last Sunday night or early Monday morning. Jason's little girl, Ashlyn, left this life and went home. And for some of us, that changed our plans. We had a trip to make, a funeral to attend. For some, there was grief and sadness. It brought thoughts into our hearts of heaven. And I also, you know, was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, this year really has been quite a year for us as a church. There's been a lot going on. We've had Brian's twins in the hospital, one passed away at a funeral. There's been tornadoes, storms, hail. We've had an outreach, lots of people moving, friends, family. And Friday night, on the way home from the funeral, I was thinking about all these things, and I was thinking about what I was going to preach about here this morning. And I felt a little bit troubled. I wasn't sure what to preach or how to preach. And we had turned on some music, and this song started playing. And the title of the song was "Lord, Let My Heart Be Quiet." There's a phrase in the second verse that caught my attention. It said, "When matters of this earthly life have filled my heart with noise, then Lord, I need to listen to your voice." The next verse goes on. It says, "Lord, let my heart be quiet and ready to receive eternal words of truth you have decreed, and let me learn to linger in quiet times of prayer. Unhurried, let me often meet you there." And so this morning I want to title the message, "Lord, Let My Heart Be Quiet." And I know I use songs quite a bit when I preach, and I hope you can bear with me in that, but they speak to me, and this one did. You know, this morning, I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what you're facing. You know, for some of us, we've had family and friends move to the outreach. For some, there's been stress with business from the outreach. For some, there might be uncertain health issues that we're facing or loved ones are facing. You know, some of us might be concerned about choices or the path that some of our loved ones have chosen. Maybe there's stress of finances. Maybe we have responsibilities that seem sometimes too large and overwhelming. Or maybe just the battle of life has become too hard and we feel like we can't go on. I don't know what y'all are facing, but I know that all of us at times face things in life that can trouble our hearts and make us sad. And this morning, Satan wants to do that. He wants to trouble our hearts. He wants us to become confused and angry. He wants us to lose our peace with God. And there's only one way that we can make it through life with its troubles and to have our hearts quiet, and that is to draw near to God. It's through communion with Him. It's in quietness before God and worship, prayer. You know, when we draw near to God, He can give us peace. He can quiet our troubled hearts and give us the courage to go on and trust that God's in control and He knows what's best for us. This morning I want to think some about this, this thing of drawing near to God and worship of God. You know, this morning we have a Savior. We serve a Savior that lived here on this earth. He lived here as a human. And he knows firsthand the importance of spending time with God. He left us different examples of doing that. He spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting before he went into his ministry. And Mark 1:35 says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Mark 6:31, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." In Luke 6, verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." So Jesus knew what the troubles of life were like as a human. He knows what you and I are facing. And he left us an example. He spent time with God. And he also left us an invitation. You can turn with me to Matthew 11. Very common verses, and Ernie actually just read them in his message at the funeral on Friday. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And these are the words of Jesus. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." These are the words of Jesus, our Savior, the one that lived here and knows what it's like to have troubled hearts. He knows what it's like to face trials and hard times in life. And he gives us this invitation. And friends, this invitation can be given as to somebody that's never been saved, somebody that don't know Jesus as their Savior, somebody that's living in sin. Jesus says, "Come. Come unto me. I've got the answers for you." And he's also giving this invitation to those that have chosen Jesus as our Savior. Those of us that have chosen Jesus and are living for him, but we face trials in life. We face times and things that don't make sense. And Jesus says to us, "Come, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest." That's Jesus. He wants to give us rest this morning. And that comes from spending time with him. So why is it important to spend time with God? You can turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 37. These here again are the words of Jesus. "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And this was Jesus speaking to the lawyer that had come and tried to tempt him and get him to answer something, trying to trip him up in his questions. But basically, Jesus is saying here, this first great commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." God is saying that the most important thing in life, the most important thing for us, is our relationship with him. It's in fact the very reason he put us here. The reason we're here is to have a relationship with God. And let me ask you this morning, how can you have a relationship with somebody you never spend time with? Can we have a relationship with somebody when every time they want to visit with us, we're too busy? We don't have time for them. A relationship like that won't last. You know, for our relationship with God to thrive this morning, we must spend time with him. The more time we spend, the deeper our relationship will grow. And I will tell you something, God will never be too busy to spend time with us. He'll always be there. Another passage I want to look at is Luke 10, a very familiar story. Luke 10, verse 38. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled over many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Like I said, a very, very common story, very well known. And Martha is there busy trying to get all the work done, and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha asks Jesus, won't you tell her to come help me? And I'd like to look at Jesus' response. He says there in verse 42, he says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus is saying this morning that there's one thing that's needful, and that's spending time with him. It's spending time at his feet, hearing from him and listening to him and talking with him. Spending time at the feet of Jesus is necessary and essential for our salvation, for our relationship with him to continue. It's where we're going to find strength. It's where we're going to find courage. And it's where we find peace and comfort and quietness for our hearts. So I'd like to look at a few things, very basic things, of ways to spend time with God. How do we spend time with God? How do we spend time sitting at the feet of Jesus? The first thing I want to look at is spending time in the Bible, reading the Bible, Bible study. Like I said, very basic and essential. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This morning, part of knowing God, part of drawing near to God, spending time at Jesus' feet, is going to come in reading the Bible. You know, we could look at all kinds of Bible passages that talk about that and the importance of spending time in the Word. But it's when we spend time reading God's Word that He can speak to us. It's how we hear from God. It's when we read the Bible, it's when we study the Bible that His Spirit can prompt and convict us in areas that need attention. It's where we gain our knowledge of God. It's where we see God's greatness and His goodness. It's where the neediness and sinfulness of our own hearts becomes apparent. It's where we find God's promises of salvation and His goodness. It's there where we find practical answers to our life's questions. And it's where we find the peace that our hearts need. It's where we find the courage to go on. In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul tells Timothy, he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Paul is telling Timothy to give attendance to reading. In our time with God and sitting at the feet of Jesus, we need to read the Bible. You know, I know there's lots of other good books out there. There's things to read that are good. And I'm not saying we never should read anything else. But when we're spending time with God, let's read the Bible. And I'm not saying we shouldn't read anything else. I think, like, beside the still waters, something like that is okay, but it should be used along with our Bible. Let me tell you something. This book right here has the answers. It's got the answers to life's problems. It's got the things in it that we need to know. You know, I like to read. I like to read other books, and I've got much blessing from other good books. But when we're spending time alone with God, it's important to read the Bible. It's where we find courage. You know, if we're unable to gain inspiration and courage in our lives from reading the Bible, if we've got to watch some video or listen to some podcast or follow some teacher on Instagram, Pinterest, or Facebook, or whatever it is, if that's the only way we can find inspiration and courage, something's messed up. We need to find it from the Bible. You know, I know the Bible, sometimes there's things in it that are hard to understand. But I think that's just a sign that we need to read it more. We need to read it to understand it. Now, the thing I would like to encourage us in is when we are reading the Bible, when we're spending our time with God, let's actually use a book with pages that we can turn. I'm not saying there's never a place to use some digital platform of a Bible. I do that sometimes, depends what I'm doing, studying. But when we're actually spending time with God, let's use a Bible. Our phones or devices are so full of distractions and can so easily take us away take our thoughts and our minds away from God. You know, if you're living in North Korea or somewhere and that's the only Bible you've got, then read it. I'm sure God can bless us that way too. But we have Bibles this morning that we can hold, and I would encourage us to read from them. You know, another essential and part of spending time with God is in prayer. Psalm 5 verse 3 says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." You know, in our time of drawing near to God, prayer is going to be a big part of it. Prayer is how we can communicate with God. And like it said there in 1 John 5, he's going to hear us. He promised that no matter where we are or how we pray, God can hear us. You know, have you stopped recently and pondered and thought about the tremendous blessing that prayer is? That we can actually pray. And like it says in Hebrews there, it's an avenue we can come directly to the throne of grace. You know, we don't have to take a sacrifice to some priest anymore and ask him to sacrifice it to God for us. We have direct access to God ourselves. We can come to that throne of grace. We can come with our needs, our problems, and God's right there. He hears us. You know, this, the God that created the universe in 6 days, the God that's holy and pure beyond even our human imagination, mighty and powerful, has time and is interested in listening to my prayers, my poor stumbling prayers. He don't care what they sound like. In fact, he invites us to pray to him all the time. There's never a time that we won't pray to God and he won't hear us. He's there all the time. Friends, prayer is where we can come to God and confess our sins and tell him everything about it without fear. Because he in fact knows them already. It's where we can spill it all out. Prayer is where we can bring our hardest trials, our hurts, and things that we can't even tell someone else. God understands. He knows all about it. He cares more than any other human can. You know, at times prayer is going to be falling on our faces before God when we don't have any words left. Times when the pain is too real. Times when the burden of guilt has become so much that we can't bear it. Times we're so angry and confused we don't know what to say anymore. God understands that. It doesn't take a lot of fancy words to get through to God. In fact, it doesn't take any words at all. He knows our hearts. This morning, to spend time at Jesus' feet, to find peace and quietness for our troubled hearts, we need to spend time in prayer, and lots of time. Another thing that I think our time with God should include is praise and thankfulness, adoration, love, time spent marveling at the greatness of God and His love for us, time spent in all of His mercy, and thinking on His love and salvation and how little we deserve of all that, and then praising Him for it. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." In our time with God this morning, we need to praise Him. We need to thank Him for all His goodness. You know, He's blessed us so much more than any of us deserve. He sent Jesus down here to die for us and to make a way that we can have salvation, that we can be free from our sins, a way that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find Him when we need Him. None of us deserve that. None of us did anything to deserve that. And God did that for us, and He likes and expects us to thank Him and praise Him. Too often my time with God and my prayers is spent telling Him all the hard things that I have to face, all the trials that I'm going through, and asking Him for things and help. And that's important. He's happy that we do that. But He expects us to praise Him. And this can be in different ways. We can praise Him in song. We can praise Him in prayer. It can be just the matter of thinking about His greatness and His goodness. You know, when we spend time doing that, thinking about the greatness, the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, it helps us to get a different perspective on the hard things that we face. You know, those trials, those hurts, they tend to fade away in the light of God's love and power. Let's spend more time thinking about God's greatness. You know, this morning, our time sitting at the feet of Jesus, our time of drawing near to God, our time of prayer must include praise and thanksgiving. Like I said before, it doesn't have to be an impressive string of fancy words, but just simple heartfelt praise and adoration to the One that's done everything for us. Another thing that I think our time with God should include is silence. Zephaniah 1 verse 7 says, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, He hath bid His guests." Hold thy peace in the presence of God. Sometimes worship with God means falling before Him in silence. Sometimes our worship goes beyond words. There's not words for it. You know, oftentimes this can come to us after we've spent time reading in the Word, after we've spent time in prayer and praise. And we find our hearts quieted. We find ourselves in silence before the Lord. You know, too often after those things is when I get up and I go about life and I want God to bless me, and He can. But am I willing to just sit there in silence before Him? You know, to have God quiet our hearts and the troubles that we face is truly an act of God. It's not something we can do ourselves. And when He's done that for us, let's spend time there with Him. And that time of silence can be filled with thoughts of praise, with thoughts of adoration. It's through this time that God can speak to us. You know, when our hearts are quiet before God, that's when He can talk. It's times where we can find strength and comfort. It's times when God can heal. In our time at the feet of Jesus, in our time with God, let's be silent and listen what He has to say to us. You know, I had to think of a song that kind of goes along with some of these thoughts. I love to steal a while away. I love to steal a while away from every cumbering care and spend the hours of setting day in humble, grateful prayer. I love in solitude to shed the penitential tear and all His promises to plead where none but God can hear. I love to think of mercies past and future good implore, and all my cares and sorrows cast on Him whom I adore. I love by faith to take a view of brighter scenes in heaven. The prospect doth my strength renew while here by tempest driven. Thus when life's toilsome day is o'er, may its departing ray be calm as this impressive hour and lead to endless day. Friends, this morning, let's find time to steal a while away and to sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, sometimes in the busyness of life and the rush and the noise of things going on around us, we just about think we don't have time. But let me tell you something. If we're going to make it through this life, if we're going to make it to glory, if we're going to want to spend eternity with Jesus, we're going to have to do it today as well. We won't make it without it. You know, I tend to think that for me to really have a quality time with God, I need to be out on the side of a mountain somewhere looking out over a beautiful valley or beside a stream or a lake or whatever you find beautiful and peaceful. And praise God for the times that that can happen. Those are great times. But unless you're fortunate enough to live somewhere like that, those times aren't going to be often enough. You know, we need to spend time with God every day. We need to spend time reading the Bible and in prayer with God every day. It's important. You know, sometimes it seems like there isn't time. But take the times you have. Sometimes for me, my time of prayer and time with God comes while I'm driving down the road in my truck. Nobody else around. I can pray to God out loud. And it feels a little odd, but I've been blessed by doing that. Find the times that you can to cry out to God, and do it in an audible voice when you can. I think it does something for us. You know, if you're a mom with little children this morning, sometimes it seems like you never can quite get everything done that needs done, much less find time of quiet, time to spend with God. In the times that you do find to spend time with God, maybe you find yourself falling asleep. I have a verse for you in Psalm 40, verse 11. It says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." You know, I think God is saying this morning that He cares about us. He cares about children. He cares about moms that are taking care of young children. And this morning I believe 100% that He's doing just that. I'm not saying that is an excuse to be lazy. But when God knows and understands, And to us husbands and fathers, just a challenge. Make sure your wife has time to spend alone with God. Do some of her work for her, and I've been convicted in this recently to do more of that. You know, this morning, if the cry of your heart is, "Lord, let my heart be quiet," I can assure you that God wants to do just that for you. That's His desire. I'm going to read to you again the words of Jesus in Matthew 11 that we had looked at earlier. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In the trials of life, in the times when our hearts are troubled, Jesus calls us to Him. "Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." That's a promise that Jesus gave us this morning. And I think it's what we all want. Let's spend time with God. Let's spend time reading His Word. Let's spend time in prayer. Let's spend time in praise. Time in silence, listening to Him speak. I'm going to read this song yet. "Lord, let my heart be quiet. Lord, let my heart be quiet. Command my thoughts to still and capture my attention to your will. Of all the thousand voices round that clamor in my ear, let it be your voice, the voice that I can hear. Lord, let my heart be quiet. Let all distractions cease. Make room within my heart for perfect peace. When matters of this earthly life have filled my heart with noise, then, Lord, I need to listen to your voice. Lord, let my heart be quiet and ready to receive eternal words of truth you have decreed, and let me learn to linger in quiet times of prayer. Unhurried, let me often meet you there. Oh, let my heart be quiet, my restless mind subdue. Let all my expectation come from you, and daily help me choose to let my inward man be still, so that your voice my quiet mind can fill." Let's stand for prayer.